Hello and welcome to this Final Boss Fight audio podcast of Masks of Nyarlathotep, where a group of intrepid investigators face ancient horrors and global conspiracies as dark schemes herald the end of the world. My name is Jeff and I am the keeper of arcane lore for this campaign. So, without any further delay, let us begin. Hello and welcome to Final Boss Fight. My name is Jeff and once again I am the keeper of arcane lore for Masks of Nyarlathotep. I am joined by Brian Croy Dragon.
Hello. And by... don't forget to dab.
Dab. You mean for floss?
Oh boy. Giving make sanity rolls before you even started. Seriously, wow.
Sorry, I blame a couple of pints before stream.
We're joined by Robin.
Hello. I'll behave, honest.
Really? And we are joined by Kieran.
Hello. Not usually this grumpy.
We're off to a good start tonight. Anyway, Ben, the quest giver, is unable to join us tonight. So I will be giving the recap for the last session. Notes on the investigation into the murder of Jackson Elias and the disappearance of the Carlisle Expedition in 1921, recorded by me, Carlton Ramsey, on this date. Recording begins. Willa suggested that I start using this Ediphone device to try and make things easier for her, so she says. I don't know if it'll make any difference, but I'll try anything once. Anyway, following the reading of Jackson Elias's will, I advised the beneficiaries of the will, Flint Locke, Denver Smith, Professor Eckhart Metz, and Tim Sullivan, who shall be hereafter known as the Friends, to speak to Jonah Kensington of Prospero House Publishing, Jackson Elias's publisher. Along the way, they stopped in at an antique shop belonging to Lester Goodman and purchased a... Hang on a sec, I've got a receipt for it right here. Ah, here it is. A Sphinx of Black Quartz and a Book of Ancient Egyptian Mythology. According to the terms of Mr. Elias's will, I have reimbursed them for this purchase. They spoke to Jonah Kensington at Prospero House Publishing and he gave them an account of Jackson Elias's movements over the past few years, particularly his movements between England, Egypt, Kenya and China. Mr. Kensington told the Friends that Jackson Elias planned to visit Australia but had not had the chance to do so, and I suppose he never will have a chance. He also gave them some notes that had been left in his keeping. And I have seen these notes, Mr. Kensington has shown them to me, and they do show that Jackson Elias' mind was in a, well, to put it bluntly, was a mess. Lots of talk of strange events, strange beings, madness, but there was talk of books in a safe. Mr. Kensington suggested that they speak to Erica Carlisle, the sister of Roger Carlisle, at her estate. The following day, despite the severe weather, they managed to reach Erica Carlisle's estate. And even though Miss Carlisle was reluctant to help them at first, they quickly won her round and she was able to tell them a bit more about her brother Roger and the influence upon his life by a woman who she named as Binet. Make a note here to make inquiries into such a person. She also gave them access to her library and allowed them to take possession of several books found in Mr. Carlisle's safe. Books of, if I may say so, a somewhat esoteric and unsavoury nature. Following this, the next day, Friends decided to visit the Juju House in Harlem. They met with the owner, Silas Nkwane. However, their investigations in that direction have reached a dead end. Whether new information will come to light is something we will have to see. That's all I have to say for now. I'm going to ask Willa to bring me in some more coffee. Recording ends.
And so, it is midday on Wednesday, the 21st of January, 1925, and I'll move us to the New York map. So, my question to you, what would you like to do? Where would you like to go?
I don't know about you, but something seems fishy about this place. Can't quite put my finger on why, but...
Which place in particular?
The Juju House.
Ah, interesting. Do you not trust the proprietor?
I don't know. Something about him tells me, the fact that he's got a picture in-game, is that he's a bigger character than...
Lots of people have pictures in games.
Sorry, I know that was very breaking the meta, but...
We have to start worrying when we start talking to people who don't have pictures in games.
But, I don't know. I have a bad suspicion about this place. And I can't quite place my finger on why.
Well, maybe you should hold on to that feeling. Should we go there to investigate?
As I mentioned in the chat, my instinct is to have a look into every single person's name is gone. The psychologist.
That was the one who went on the Carlisle expedition, wasn't it?
Yeah. Dr. Robert Houston? Is that right?
Hang on. I'm going to have a quick look through my notes.
I have Houston spelled two different ways in my notes as well, to make it a bit more interesting. So yeah, the psychologist, Dr. Robert Houston, went on the expedition too. Benet. That's like, that almost sounds French, and then I saw it says French African in my notes. Well done. Which parts of Africa were colonized by the French?
I'm just gonna have to quick look through my notes, hang on. I would quite like to go to the library. Because there was something about the
David Houston.
Narcotic manuscripts.
What?
And apparently there's some found here out of those books that we kind of found.
Which library was that, the Miskatonic?
There was the... Some of it's at the Miskatonic, and then there's some at the New York Public Library.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I can get you into the Miskatonic Library. But given how it went last time I got you guys into the library, I don't know if I'm inclined to do that.
I mean, just to say, they are on the other end of the telephone.
So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like a trip to the Miskatonic might be in order.
I was going to say, what I can maybe... did find out is that the original copy is in Greek, which... I don't have a clue about reading.
I also don't have a clue. I have a little bit of Latin, but otherwise just German and English.
Just to say that, as you know, Metz, the trip from New York to Arkham takes about 7 to 8 hours.
What? Oh my god, America's so big. America's too big.
Yep.
Canada's even bigger.
But they are on the telephone, so it's quite an easy matter to telephone them.
Yeah. I'm trying to think,
trying to save you time, that's all.
No, thank you. I'm thinking, so what do we want to do? We want to check out the narcotic manuscript, There was probably one in the New York Library. I don't have any connections there, but it will take us less time, so we might as well have a go.
Well, there's a couple in... There's part of it in Booth, I think.
Yeah.
I think what you said it was there's copies in both rather than parts.
Ah, right. Copy.
And then I'll ask around and see if anybody knows anything about Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other thing you said?
Waiting for a phone call for I want to say, is it Hilton Adams? His wife, something.
You're waiting for a phone call from Rebecca Schosenberg, the journalist.
That's it, yes.
Into a meeting with the wife.
And we've got that crooked policeman, what was it, Robson, chasing after us?
Yeah.
I don't trust him.
I don't think you meant to. yeah.
He's got a picture.
He does.
So.
Yeah, Oh God, there's so much we have to do.
He's got a nose.
There was that guy who we think was probably wrongly in prison as well. We have to sort that out at some point.
That's Hilton Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
This is our way into the Harlem Hellfighters.
Mm, yeah.
And the other lead you have at the moment is Emerson Imports on the business card.
Mm.
Which also had Silas Nicuano written on the back of it.
Have what written on the back, sorry?
If you look at the business card from Emerson Imports, there's a name written on the back.
Silas Nicuano. That was the guy that we met, isn't it?
Yes, the one that we're currently standing outside the shop of.
Yeah.
Oh,
excuse me!
Chapter.
Ding!
So many handouts.
They go back in brandishing this business card.
I think he told you
Where did we get the business card from?
It was in Jackson Elias' hotel room when he was murdered.
Right. What were you going to say there, Jeff?
I was going to say that I think Silas told you that he got a lot of his things from Emerson Imports.
Yeah, he did.
Right.
And just to throw it out there, another option you talked about last time was paying another visit to Mr. Goodman.
Hmm.
Because your black sphinx has been acting a bit strange.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Tim, do you want to take the lead on that?
So? The question is, what do you want to do first? There's plenty of time to do stuff. What do you want to do first?
Library?
Yes.
Okay. Does this tell me where the New York Public Library is? I prepared a lot of things, I just didn't prepare the locations of things, so bear with me one moment, please.
This way we've taken you off the rails of what you've prepared.
Quite.
I may have forgotten one of the aliases that I gave when we first talked to Goodman.
Hang on, I think I have them written down.
Okay. The New York Public Library is location 12 on the mini-map here. I'm pinging it now.
Right. And for the record, the fake names we gave...
They're all actors from what I remember.
The fake names we gave, I don't have written down who was who, were Cheney, Haggard, Arnold, Kaiser, and Wallen. I remember which one I was, I don't remember which one you guys were.
I think I was Haggard and... Oh jeez, now I have to open up a different document.
I believe Flint was Cheney.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was Haggard. Tim is creeped out and gives his name as Ace Rider, Haggard, Flint as Lon Cheney, and the absent Eckhart as Arnold Kaiser.
Gotcha.
Right, there we go.
I made note of that myself, just to be sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Denver is here, by the way. He's just going to be a bit quiet for this session.
He's trying to figure out that fighter.
Flint's just going to put a big Jaguar pelt over the top of Denver.
when you put a cheek over a bird and it just
I was thinking something kind of different, like, in D&D, the cardboard cutout running gag.
Yes. He looks a bit wooden today. So, is that what you're doing, New York Public Library?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The New York Public Library is not very busy today, presumably because there's still lots of snow around. People are finding it difficult to get around. But you do enter, and as you imagine, there are just shelves and shelves of books covering all sorts of topics. And as you enter the front, there is a reception desk and a receptionist just putting down the phone. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome to the New York Public Library. How may I help you?
Right, so we need our assistance in research. We're looking for a Greek tome called the Narcotic Manuscripts.
15th century.
And when you say that, her eyes widen slightly. Just for a moment, please. I need to call someone. She picks up the phone. Hello, Professor Langton. I've got three gentlemen in reception here asking about one of the special books. Oh, you will? Oh. I'll ask him to wait here for you. Professor Langton will be down in a few minutes. He may be able to help you in your request.
Is that a name I recognise? I feel like I've heard that before.
You've heard it. Nicked it from the Da Vinci Code.
I thought it was.
I'm not familiar with the Da Vinci Code.
It's the main character, isn't it?
Yeah.
A few moments later, a middle-aged man who looks surprisingly like Tom Hanks enters. gentlemen, Professor Robert Langton, would you please follow me? I may be able to help you with your inquiries. And he leads you through a corridor into what appears to be his office, but it's a very like out-of-the-way office. It's like not the sort of place where people seem to go. But he says there are some seats inside. Please sit down. How may I help you? The receptionist said something about a particular book you're looking for.
Yes. Sorry. Go on, Tim.
Yes. Allow me to introduce ourselves. I'm Tim Sullivan, who was on the Howard Carter and Lord Carnarvon expedition to find Tutankhamun. These are my friends, Flintlock, Professor Eckhart Metz, and this quiet one here is Denver Smith.
Oh, very great pleasure to meet you all.
We are looking for the Narcotic Manuscript for some research purposes.
Ah. I have to tell you that book is currently not in our collection.
What do you mean it's not?
Stolen by any chance?
Make me a persuade roll with a bonus die.
How do I do bonus die?
Well, I'm changing the rules on how bonus dies work. Just roll it twice and we'll see what it is. What did you get?
First
one.
Extreme success.
Son of a.
So I'm going to say
that
extreme success from Metz counteracts the fumble from Tim Sullivan, but that's still quite spectacular. You don't see many of those.
Why is that scene showing up in my mind right now?
So with an extreme success, Professor Metz, his shoulders sag a bit and goes, yeah, our copy's been stolen. Don't know, no idea how it happened. The staff member opened up the. Well, we have a routine check on our restricted section every night, and on this particular night, the patrolman.
Stop you for a moment.
Of course.
Was it by any chance stolen and there was no evidence of how it was taken? Nobody was seen, no footprints, and the case was not moved.
No sighting of a man with a nose like a proboscis monkey's.
How did you know that, sir?
I've been on this case for a little while, and I'm going Russian there, hang on. Down. We've seen this before.
Yes. In that case, you seem to know all about it. Yes, our copy of the Narcotic Manuscripts was stolen. And as you say, there's no disturbance around it. It just seems someone just seems to have materialized in there, swooped down, grabbed it, and gone again.
Yeah, it happened at the Mistasonic University as well.
Hmm.
God, I'm sorry, I'm going Russian today. It's because I've been prepping for a campaign set in Russia.
And, yes.
Just a little bit confused today.
I heard about theirs, and also there was a book in Boston that went missing as well, I believe. Miriam Atwright contacting me as well.
Hmm.
Do you know what book it was that went missing in Boston and the Miskatonic?
Miskatonic, that happened a few years ago. I believe it was De Vermis Mysterious went missing, and
right, yeah.
The one in Boston, let me see, I've got the letter here somewhere. Africa's Dark Sects. Three books gone missing with no trace.
And all books we've
think
heard
about
of.
Africa's Dark Sect. Why have I heard about that?
We have heard about Africa's Dark Sect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think we heard about that during the it's getting away from me.
What was the first one that went missing, sorry, Jeff?
De Vermis Mysterious in 1923.
So that's the one from what's the one shop called? The Spooky House.
That's the one, yep.
Ah, the Spooky House. It was in that. In Africa.
Do you want to? I'll give you this one. Africa's Dark Sex was the book that Jackson Elias wrote to Miriam Atwright about, and she sent back saying that she didn't have it. Then subsequently, you phoned her up, and she explained to you what happened.
Yeah, that's right.
You had the Narcotic Manuscripts you took from Carlisle's house, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Can you just make me a spot hidden? As a retroactive spot hidden. Just make me a spot hidden roll.
Hmm.
Oh dear.
That's a 92 out of 85.
With 7 points of luck.
Do you want to put 7 points of luck onto that?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay.
Oops, didn't mean to roll that.
Flint, as you were, you remember, as you were skimming through the Narcotic Manuscripts at the library, at Erica Carlisle's library, there was a stamp on the inside front cover. NYPL.
NY what, sorry?
NYPL.
Ah.
Public Library. Haha, well, we might be able to solve one of their problems.
While I'm thinking about it, we heard there was a copy of the Narcotic Manuscripts held here, as we said. We discovered this in Erica Carlisle's house, and I pulled out the book. It had that stamp on it.
She consented to us taking this. We didn't steal it.
As you do that, his eyes grow wide. Where did you find it?
Erica Carlisle's house.
It
was in a safe that belonged to her late brother.
That's impossible. I mean, it went missing.
Impossible.
When did it go missing?
About 5-6 years ago.
Hmm.
And when was the Carlisle expedition again?
Thank you.
The Carlisle Exhibition was 1919.
And we are 1925. Would this be about the time that the Carlisle expedition went off? That it went missing?
Shortly before, at least a few months beforehand, I believe. I didn't think anything
of it. Very impossible at all, then, is it?
I didn't think anything of it. Why would someone like a socialite like Roger Carlisle? Well, never mind why. How could he steal it? There was no trace of anything in there.
Indeed, the question. As to why, we have reason to believe that Carlisle was dabbling in
the dark TV arts.
Nonsense, yeah.
Life is strange.
I have to get onto my fellow contact, Professor Armitage at the Orne Library, who wants to hear about this as well.
Yes, of course, share with Armitage. Maybe other than that, we keep this quiet. Investigating Carlisle.
Of course, yes, of course. You've done a great service. Is there anything I can do for you in return?
Dr. Robert Huston, was he an associate at the university, or...?
Huston, the name is familiar. She was the psychiatrist who went on the Carlisle expedition, as I remember. Is that correct?
Right, yeah.
I remember thinking at the time that was very odd. He was very popular among the rich and famous in New York. He was a kind of a celebrity psychiatrist.
Celebrity psychologist, yes.
But yeah, he obviously... He was killed on that expedition as well. What's your interest in him?
Well, we have reason to believe that it is he possibly stoked some of Richard Carlisle's psychosis and pushed him towards some of the occult. So I'm just trying to understand if this was, you know, sort of a recent development just before they left the country, or if he was known for, you know, having a belief in these arts.
Well, it's it would be somewhat irregular, but I do have some contacts in the medical profession, in the psychology profession. Maybe I can try and find out any details on his dealings with Roger Carlisle. Would that be helpful to you?
Yes, definitely.
And just while we're on, you don't know a Binet person at all, do you?
A Binet, no. The name isn't... I don't know the name, I'm sorry.
No, that is fair enough. I just thought, since we're throwing names around, it'd be a good one to check.
Definitely.
Was that another associate of Carlisle's or Huston's?
Yes. Apparently they were the one who spurned on the expedition.
The only other person I've known in connection with Carlisle is Hypatia Masters, and she went on the expedition with them.
What can you tell us about this Hypatia?
She was the sort of person who lived on attention. Was always in and out of the gossip columns, usually associated with Roger Carlisle. They used to have a thing going at one point, but apparently, I can't remember if he broke it off or she broke it off. Either way, they separated. And again, I was surprised to see that she'd been invited on this expedition as well. She was their photographer. Who else was on that expedition? There was a that famous Egyptologist, what's his name again?
Edward Beatty.
That's no. I'm sure I'd remember a name like Edward Beatty. Aubrey Penhew, that was it. Yeah. Shame that was a real loss to the academic world.
Aubrey, what, sorry?
So, Penhew.
Aubrey Penhew. And what did Aubrey do on the expedition, please?
She financed it.
Ah.
He took them all to London to spend some time at his institute, and there they learned about, basically they trained to work in Egypt, they trained in the culture. They spent some time there. It was in all the papers at the time.
That's London to put on the list to investigate later then.
And the Nile expedition members. So Danae at the back there, and then Hypatia, I suppose, is the woman at the front. One of these, and then the other men are Aubrey, Houston, Carlisle, and who was the other expedition member?
There was
Hypatia Matthews.
Hypatia Matthews.
That's the woman, isn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah, so who's the other man?
I don't recall his name. I know there's someone attached as a kind of bodyguard or an aide, or... but I didn't quite get what his name was. Wait a minute. Brady. I think his name was Brady.
Brady?
Yeah, Brady. He didn't... well, his name wasn't as big in the papers, so that's probably why I didn't recognise it. But I do remember, at the time, he was listed on the expedition.
Do we have a full name for Mr. Brady?
Wayne Brady.
I'm gonna make it an intelligence roll. One moment.
Yeah, makes sense.
Give him a base of... oh, yep. Jack. I'm sure it was Jack.
Brady. He was the security.
Okay. Now, is there anything else we need while we are here?
Not that I remember.
Hi, Professor Langton. What is it you're a professor of?
History, anthropology. And yourself, Professor Metz?
Psychology myself, yeah.
Oh, of course. I'm surprised you haven't heard of Professor Houston, of Dr. Houston, then.
So am I. I suppose I don't read much in the way of celebrity gossip.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else I can do for you, gentlemen?
Unless my friends have anything else to look for. We have a Mr. Goodman to see.
Well, thank you again. You've done a great service, and I'll do everything I can to get you those papers before too long.
Appreciated.
We will talk to you later.
Look forward to it. I do look forward to it. And so you leave the library. I'm going to say that he's allowed you to hang on to the book for now, but he will want you to give it back to him at some point. So you still have possession of the music manuscripts.
Okay.
Okay.
When we get a time, Flint is going to look deeper into that.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm getting very distracted by my cat. She's being very cute. Look at her little.
Are we going to get to see her?
Maybe not tonight. She's moving.
That's a very nice plush you've got there, Alex, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In which case, what you like to do? I'll give you one more slot for today, and then it'll be the evening.
You wanted to go see Goodman. Why do you want to go see Goodman?
Because he
complained that his sphinx is faulty.
Well, it has been behaving oddly, hasn't it?
They are alive.
Does it still... We get the sphinx out, we turn it upside down. Does it still say that?
Where the numbers were quite clearly engraved onto the base of the sphinx, it's now completely blank, as if it was newly polished.
Hmm.
Are you sure you didn't imagine it?
Should we check out Emerson Imports?
Yes.
So that was the other thing we've got. I don't know why we're going there, but it was something Jackson Elias was doing, wasn't it?
So Jackson Elias was interested in Emerson Imports in some respect. Silas and Kwame also uses them to procure oddities from Africa. Where are they getting these from? Like, are they being sold voluntarily by the African people, or are they being stolen?
Well, it's finders keepers, isn't it?
Only spoils of war that were spoils of war, like, they were taken by one African tribe, then they were taken by Western treasure hunters. Because that's just getting things complicated.
We can always go and ask, can't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so is that where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
The address for Emerson Imports is along the Hudson River. It's location 10 on your map. And it probably takes you about an hour to travel there. Traffic is absolute killer in New York, especially with all the snow and that's around about. And it's a long, narrow building on the edge of a Hudson River, almost like a warehouse, or it is pretty much a warehouse. There are loading docks at both ends, and as you're arriving, you can see that a lot of the workers are leaving, having finished for the day.
Oh yeah, we didn't pick our timing very well.
But there's still a light on inside. You can still like see a window, and there's like a light on in the window.
Tim walks up to the window and knocks on it with his hand.
You see a face appear at the window.
A human face.
And just to make you even more suspicious, he does have a picture.
Oh no, you cut out for me. He has a what?
For a moment I thought it was going to be Lester Goodman.
Hold on, I'll give you the wrong picture. Hang on a minute. And he looks at and he gestures to the main door.
Yeah, Tim nods and walks on over to it.
We follow.
The door is closed, but after a few moments you hear the keys rattling in the lock and the door opens and this man stands in front of you. Yes, what can I do for you? We are just about to close. It's not really a good time. You can come back tomorrow.
Yes, I'm Tim Sullivan. I was a member of the Carter and Carnarvon expedition in Egypt, a friend of Robert Carlyle. These are my friends, Flint Locke, Professor Eckhart, Metz, and this quiet one is Denver Smith. We're all friends of Robert Carlyle and are looking into what interest he had in this place.
Carlyle. That was the Carlyle expedition in 1919, wasn't it?
Yes.
I remember reading about that in the papers. He didn't have any connection here. What made you think he did?
A book he wrote, Dark Sects of Africa, and you...
Carlyle didn't write anything.
Oh, jeez, who... Darn it, I'm getting names mixed up.
Did you mean Jackson? Jackson,
yes,
Elias.
Jackson Elias.
There we
right.
go. We're going to rewind that little statement. Substitute Jackson Elias instead of Robert Carlyle.
Yes, rewind, that never happened. You all have amnesia.
A strange sort of like shimmery blip appears around you, and he says, "Oh, Jackson Elias, sure, he was here. I remember he was making inquiries about importers from Africa. Kenya, to be exact, I think."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, He said he'd come back, but he never came back for extra questions. Did something happen to him?
Have you not seen the papers?
I don't get much chance to read the papers, sir.
And Flint kind of puts his arm on his shoulder, hand on his shoulder, and gives it a kind of grasp. Well, he was murdered.
What? Oh, I...
A few days ago.
Oh, I am sorry to hear that. Was he a good friend of yours?
Indeed. Oh. Always knew how to get us in trouble.
And he knew quite a way to make a bet. I have a picture in my wallet if you'd like to see.
No, that's absolutely fine, sir. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I'll do what I can to help your questions. He was asking about... He said he'd been looking for businesses in the area that imported from Kenya, from Mombasa. The only contact I have in Mombasa is a Arja Singh.
Singh?
Arja Singh. Yeah, I'll write this down in the chat, this name down in the chat.
Yeah. And Mombasa is the capital of Kenya, right?
I thought that was Nairobi.
Ah, where's Mombasa?
I might be wrong.
Mombasa, I believe, is a port in...
My bad. Yeah, you're right. Nairobi is the capital.
Just out of curiosity, but how close to Sava would that be?
I don't have a map to hand, I'm afraid.
How close to what, sorry?
Savo.
Savo, yeah.
You know, like the... the Savo man-eaters, spread their reign of terror for a bit.
My Kenyan geography is no good, sir. All I know is Mombasa is a place that I get imports from.
No, it's quite all right. My Kenyan geography isn't.
What sort of imports do you get?
Cultural artifacts, antiques, tribal fetishes, that sort of thing. The only real client I have for them is the Juju House in Harlem.
Silas, yeah.
Have you been there?
Very recently.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Jackson saying that, Mr. Elias saying that he was going to go there. What do you make of that, Silas Naquani?
He's a perfectly nice fellow.
I must admit, there's just something about him. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I don't trust him.
Yeah, I agree with you, sir. There's something about him that makes my skin crawl.
Can I do like a psychology roll or like?
Please do a psychology roll. Yes, please.
Please, I'm like, is this guy just racist or does he have actual concerns?
I think I might make one too.
I'll spend 2 points of luck. Just like, I just want to kind of get this guy's vibe.
Oh, sorry, Tim. This guy Arthur Emerson. He seems to be very honest. He genuinely says that when he says about Silas Aquino making his skin crawl, you see his brow furrowing. So there is something about him, and he's telling the truth. You don't see.
What sort of things does Mr. Enquani buy from you? Anything unusual?
There's been some weird sculptures, I think you'd call them, or idols. Some of them I've never seen before. Some of them just like seem weird to me. They hurt my eyes to look at.
Do you have any pictures or anything in your? Oh, what are those things called that you write your stock on?
Yeah. Oh, ledger, sir.
Or do you have any kicking about?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm waiting for another delivery from Mombasa.
And what can you tell us about this? And I pull out the black sphinx.
It's not one of mine. It didn't come through here. Where did you get it? What shop did you buy it from?
Lester Goodman's.
A very creepy fellow.
And again, he's like, when you say Lester Goodman, his eyes widen a bit. He says, "You want to be careful about that guy." I said, "Silas Aquani makes my skin crawl. That Goodman fella. I just find it very difficult to be in the same room as him. There's something about him that I don't like." Fortunately, I don't have to deal with him. I don't know where he gets his imports from.
Yes, we kind of got that feeling too.
We've never given our real names to him.
I'm sure that's probably wise. You sort of probably know what you're doing, but it's a very weird business, this antiques import business. It gets some very weird people they don't normally want to associate with, but that's where the money is, I guess.
Just with the Sphinx, you haven't heard of weird things being engraved on them or artifacts and then it suddenly disappearing?
Only after a few drinks, sir.
Yes to that. Because I'm sure this one the other day said they are alive, but now I can't see anything.
If you find the right bar around here, sir, that you'll be seeing things you never thought that you didn't think were there, and they won't be there when you wake up again.
Flint kind of claps him on the shoulder and says, "We're going to have to go out for a drink at some point. I like you."
I'd be careful about those photographs. Friend of mine once mentioned a peculiar story involving a picture of a mummy case. Wasn't a mummy case ever shown, but some sort of mad woman. And Well, let's just say a priest had to be called to exorcise the place.
Oh.
Well, right, we'll be careful with those idols also.
I know that, sir. Believe me, all I do is just ship the crates and pass them on. That's all I do. That's all I want to do.
When is your next shipment of these weird idols coming in?
Honestly, sir, I'm not entirely sure. They can be any day of the month. I get contacted shortly beforehand, but apart from that, it could be tomorrow, it could be the day after.
And when was your last lot in?
Probably about a week ago, actually, sir.
Okay. We might need to go investigate Mr. Nkwane and find out what his stock is of strange idols. Sorry, I don't know, there's something about him that creeps me out.
I don't blame you, sir. I don't blame you at all. If you don't mind, I need to finish closing up.
Of course. You know what? I'll get in contact about going for a drink sometime.
I think I'd like that, sir. I'd like that. You seem to be an interesting person.
And if you're very lucky, I might get you a pelt.
I could probably get my own imported, sir. But thank you for the offer.
This one will be fresh.
With that, it is evening time, so this day, the 21st, is drawing to an end. Is there any last thing you'd like to do before returning to the hotel?
No, I'm fine with returning to the hotel.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think. Have we heard any more rumblings from a Mr. Robson at any point? Or is he keeping his eye on us, or...?
Make me a spot hidden, Flint.
I think I'll make one, too.
Of course, anybody wants to make a spot hidden, please make one.
Well, finally.
54 out of 85, so that's a success.
42 out of 72 for me. I didn't say for the previous ones, but they were failures.
That's fine. Definitely tick those off on your sheets. You're looking around as you're walking back. You see people you think might be policemen. There's obviously officers around directing traffic. So there is a police presence there, but I'm going to say at the moment, no one seems to be actively following you, or you don't see anybody actively following you.
She just did a very big yawn. Yes, we did. Yeah, I can't think of anything else I necessarily want to do this evening.
Maybe it's just me being in these brick walls and this cramped-in surrounding, but... I don't know, maybe I'm just becoming paranoid.
And so... Okay, sorry. Were you about to say something else?
No, not right.
Thinking.
Me.
Okay. And so the 21st of January comes to an end, and the 22nd of January dawns, Thursday the 22nd of January. And a couple of things happen this morning, actually. When you wake up in your hotel and go down for breakfast, there is a telegram for Tim and a package for Metz.
Not a singing telegram.
Not a singing telegram that's about to get shot. No.
I am a singing telegram, babe.
I don't know that one.
Have you not seen Clue?
It's the Clue movie.
It's like the only good film.
So, which of you would like to go first?
I'll go with a telegram.
It's a telegram from Rebecca Schosenberg asking you to contact her as soon as you get it with a telephone number.
Seems we are needed by Miss Schosenberg.
There is a telephone in the reception, in the hotel reception.
I'll go make that call.
Okay. It rings a couple of times. I'll just show you the picture again. It rings once or twice, and then you hear the click as it's picked up. Hello, Rebecca Schosenberg, New York Times.
Yes, Miss Schosenberg, it's Tim Sullivan. I received your telegram.
Oh, Mr. Sullivan. Oh, thank you very much for getting in contact. I wanted to let you know, Millie Adams has agreed to talk, but it has to be this evening.
Excellent.
She wants us to meet her at the Lafayette Theatre in Harlem. I'll meet you at the back door, 8 o'clock.
Yes, we'll be there.
I'm hoping I actually got the name of that one right.
I am not great with French names, so I just said meet at the theater in Harlem in my notes.
Lafayette, that's fine, yep. Okay, thank you. This means so much to me, and I'm sure it'll mean so much to Millie as well. I look forward to seeing you this evening.
Yes. We'll click. See you soon.
Click.
Click. All right. Well, chaps, looks like we're going to be seeing Miss Adams this evening in Harlem.
Oh, dinner and a show, is it?
Yes, at the Lafayette.
How big is that? It's then.
It's going to say, how much action's in this piece? I'm seeing.
The package is, well, in our terms, it'd be about an A4 size package, about half an inch thick, definitely. It's flexible, so it's not solid, it's quite flexible. And it's addressed to you, Mets.
Do I recognize the handwriting?
You wouldn't recognize the handwriting.
Okay. In that case, I will open it with reckless abandon.
It's a folder, actually. There's a note pinned to the top. Hope these help. RL. And I have a picture of what this is.
Oh.
Robert Langdon.
Ah, thank you.
Carlisle Roger.
Roger Carlisle Roger, I say Robert.
So, he has had to pull some strings to get this to you, owing by the seal on it. Now, the actual prop for this in the Masnion Arteotep prop set from the magnificent folks of the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society, please sponsor us, is massive. It's page after page after page after page, and I couldn't scan it all, so I'm going to give you the summary from the actual Masnion Arteotep book.
Okay.
Met, this one's for you.
Alright. Hey, summary. Steph, pretty interesting character. I've been reading this out in the lobby of this hotel. First meeting, January 11th, Nina. Reference Erica Carlisle, closest relative Erica Carlisle. Admin Systems and Systems, Mr. Robert Vane Burlington Carlisle visited me this morning. He deprecates the importance of his state of mind, but concedes that he has had some trouble sleeping due to a recurring dream in which he hears a distant voice calling his name. Interestingly, the voice uses Mr. Carlisle's second given name, Vane, by which Mr. Carlisle admits he always thinks of himself. Carlisle moves towards the voice and has to struggle through a web-like mist in which the caller is understood to stand. The caller is a man, tall, gaunt, dark, an inverted arc blazes on his forehead. Following the Egyptian theme, he has had no conscious interest in things Egyptian, he says. The man extends his hands to see, his palms held upward. Pictured on his left palm, he discovers his own fate. On the right, he sees an unusual misshapen pyramid. The caller then brings his hands together and he feels himself float off the ground into space. He halts before an assemblage of monster figures. Figures of humans with animal limbs, with fangs and talons, or of no particular shape at all. All of them circle a pulsating ball of yellow energy, which C recognizes as another aspect of the calling man. The ball draws him in, he becomes part of it, and sees through eyes not his own. A great triangle appears in the void, its twisted symmetry of the same fashion as the vision of the pyramid. C then hears the caller say, and becomes with me a god. As millions of odd shapes and forms rush into the triangle, he aches. He does not consider this dream a nightmare, although it upsets his sleep. He says that he revels in it, and that it is a genuine calling, although my strong impression is that he is actually excited about it. An inability to choose seems to characterize much of his life. September 18th, 1918, he calls her Emueru Anastasia and my priestess. He is obsessive about her, as well he might be. Exterior devotion is certainly one way to ease the tensions of megalomania. Megalomaniacal contradictions. He is certainly a rival to my authority. December 3rd, 1918, if I do not go, he threatens exposure. If I do go, or pretend self-analysis surely will be lost. What then will be my role? Very interesting. One of the psychologists who believes that dreams reveal your innermost thoughts and desires. Nonsense, obviously. But seems we have two more names for Bene. Emueru Anastasia.
So, Metz, that was all a load of gibberish to me. Do you mind explaining in English?
I thought Mr. Carlisle had strange dreams with a vaguely Egyptian theme. They push him towards sort of megalomaniacal, narcissistic tendencies. He seems to think it's calling, although the psychologist Houston says that he is undecided about it. This is, I do not know how Houston thinks that he knows better than his patient. He became infatuated with this woman, Emueru. And Carlisle threatened Houston with exposure.
Exposure of what?
That I cannot answer. If I do go, all pretense of analysis will be lost. Yes. Yes, it was. I think that Houston became as obsessed with Carlisle as Carlisle became with Emueru.
Possibly, or sounds like a potential case of blackmail.
Indeed.
Tim, I take it, Metz, you read this aloud to the other three.
I think he definitely made the others aware of it.
Tim, make me an intelligence roll, please.
Yeah.
69 out of 70.
Wow. Ooh, just.
Oh, it's enough.
A weekend in there.
A pass is a pass. Something in what Metz said jumped out at you. There was a reference to an inverted Ankh.
Hello?
You've come across a reference to that recently. In the... when you were skimming through the book from Carlyle's library, the Selections de Livres Divins. You saw notations, illustrations of something that looks like an inverted Ankh, inverted broken Ankh. And if Ben were here, I'd ask him to make an intelligence roll as well, but did anybody else note down that pattern in the Jackson Elias London notes?
You mean this?
Yes. One of those symbols, if you turn it upside down, could be Ankh.
We've lost you again, Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
Could how be.
Much how much? One of those symbols
could be.
Could be an Ankh if you turn it upside down.
Oh, where's the? It's the London notes, isn't it? That's the book. I don't see an Ankh in there.
If you were to turn it upside down, one of the symbols could be an Ankh.
Yeah, even at which one? I don't see which one of those could be an Ankh.
Top row, fourth from the left.
London notes.
It looks more like the symbol of a church on a map, or like upside down Venus.
What does an Ankh look like?
An Ankh.
It's like a cross with a circle on top, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So kinda, turn yeah. Yeah, cross with a circle on top.
Oh, yes.
I think if Jackson Elias, clearly isn't a very good drawer.
Yeah, he's not a very good drawer, no, but the reference is there.
Yes, it's Lair.
I was literally just thinking, like, ooh, maybe it's a map, because that's a symbol for a church on a map. No.
The call out is an inverted Ankh.
Okay.
And so, with that food for thought, what would you like to do this morning?
Man, I need to talk to somebody to do Houston. That's now my number one priority. Like, what I'm seeing is transference.
Okay.
I would quite like to investigate the Juju House again for mysterious idols.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's the consensus?
Juju House, whilst I think of how to track down.
Can do, yeah.
Yeah.
So you make the long journey up from your hotel up towards Harlem, and again it's a familiar road. You walk down the alley to the square, the small square with all the buildings around it. Abandoned shop on one side, the Juju House on the other side.
And how much police presence is there? Flint's getting very paranoid here now.
I won't make you roll for this, because otherwise it's a spotting enough, spotting enough, spotting him. Not much at this time in the morning, I would say.
Okay.
So, you are in this location. What do you wish to do? Do you wish to go into the Juju House again, or do you wish to I don't know. Set up a watch.
I was going to say, Flint's not really one for subtlety, so he'd probably walk in.
Yes, yeah, so Tim will follow.
Okay. find the guy again. I'll show you his I'll bring you his picture again. Where is his picture? Uh-oh. Bear with me while roll 22 catches up with me. There we go. There's probably a couple of people. There's probably a couple of people.
Creeps me out a bit.
There's.
I think he's gnarly.
You see a couple of people in this shop. It looks like they're finishing up some transactions with Silas Aquani.
Oh. You always expect a villain team up between him and Goodman. I don't trust Goodman. You don't trust Silas.
Okay. Flint's gonna just have a little look around while he's dealing with these customers to see if he can see anything that looks unusual and a bit creepy, like idolish.
Make me a who?
Make a what, sorry?
I was going to say, make me a spot hidden roll unless you can come up with something better, because unlike
I will take spot hidden.
One of the things that Dungeons & Dragons does better than this is there's multiple roles as perception and investigation, but in here we only get spot hidden.
Can I do spot hidden also?
Oh, yes.
Very nice.
Oh, wow.
You can do spot hidden also, Tim.
I'll do something slightly different. I'm gonna hope for something big here. No, that's not gonna do it.
Oh, sadly not. Tim, you're looking around, and it is Tim. This is. You see lots of interesting, anthropologically interesting, masks, instruments, idols, all conforming to the culture of Kenya. Flint, with that success, you see one of the... You're looking around as well, and you happen to catch out of your eye the people that Silas is dealing with. One of them is, in particular, is a smartly dressed man in his mid-20s. And it looks like from the bulge in his jacket, he's carrying a gun underneath his jacket. And as you watch, he's tucking what appears to be a fat envelope inside his jacket. And with that, this man turns and leaves.
Okay. Without kind of really saying anything to anyone else, Flint's going to try and subtly follow this bloke out. Flint, without getting spotted.
Flint, your Maya have that is showing.
My Maya have that showing, is it?
make me a stealth roll, please.
It's not as good as Maya's, though.
It's enough. Oh. It's enough. Tick it off. It's enough.
I am definitely ticking that.
You follow him down the alley, managing to keep out of sight. He's really paying attention. He's just like walking casually along. Gets to the end of the alley, gets to the road, and you see him get... Well, there's someone else standing there, and they greet each other. And you see him getting into a police car and driving off.
Can Flint take a note of the license plate?
I'll say yes. I don't actually have an example of a license plate, but I'll say yes, you can.
Okay. And I'm going to make a note of the time that it is.
And don't forget, you do have a contact on the police force, who is not...
Okay. and location.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I will subtly try and sneak back into
I won't make you roll that again.
With everyone else.
I'll make you roll that again. You arrive back just as Silas is finishing up at the counter. Ah, welcome back. I'm glad to see you again. Perhaps there's something that has interested you in my little shop?
I'm just looking at Mr. Naquani.
Of course, of course. Anything you want, I'm here to help.
Yes, we were just talking with Emerson Imports the other day, actually.
Oh,
I hear you get a lot of your stuff from there.
To Emerson, yes, we get all of our, I get all of my, my wares through him. He has a very good contact in Mombasa, I believe.
Those eyes are staring into my nightmare title.
He mentioned you often procure some unusual items. We were just wondering if, you know, you could tell us a little bit about them.
Oh, they're just things and knickknacks. The people in this city seem to like a bit of mystery, like a bit of exotic wares, and I just do my best to fulfill that.
Yeah, he was saying some of them were a bit on the creepier side.
Oh, I'm sure he... Well, I don't know. Maybe he just... maybe it's just not for him. Maybe he doesn't like the style of it.
Maybe. Could you show us some of them? It's kind of perked my interest.
Over here, yes, of course, over here. And he takes you over to a... In fact, it's almost like probably very near the shelf that Tim was looking at. So there's some like tribal masks of varying grotesque descriptions, angry faces, lots of teeth. There's probably a few like necklaces made of teeth around. Nothing that sees that I can't say nothing out of the ordinary, because what's ordinary? Nothing that makes your skin crawl, really.
Yeah, these are all very interesting. Is there any that are your particular favourites?
I'm quite partial to these instruments here, and he shows you some like fluted instruments. They remind me of time spent under the stars in my homeland.
And forgive me for being so rude, but you know, where are you from originally?
Oh, I'm from Nairobi, of course, sir. A small village near Nairobi. Make a psychology roll.
Oh God, that is not one of Flint's big bits. Good bits.
Oh,
not even worth spending the luck on that.
No.
I
will allow Metz and Sullivan to make it as well, because you'd probably be standing nearby listening to this conversation.
I think...
Metz.
That's why you need your man in the room.
Metz. This man, Silas Naquani, has never been, from what you can gather, if he has been to Africa... He definitely was not born there. He definitely did not grow up there.
Yeah.
It appears, for want of a better term, it appears to be an act.
Like, you gotta hustle.
Yep.
I'm just gonna sit with that. I'm not gonna do anything about it.
Okay.
Okay. And what are these instruments used for?
Tribal rituals, cultural ceremonies, coming of age ceremonies, some of our...
Such as... I'm interested in learning this culture. He's piqued my interest.
And you can kind of see his eyes start to, like, you know, twitch a little bit. Customers aren't usually this questioning about Kenya, about his purported culture. Coming of age ceremonies, when a boy reaches manhood, there is a ritual held in my tribe to mark the occasion at the night of the full moon.
Any reason why it's a full moon?
Sorry, I'm gonna change that. He didn't say full moon. He said new moon.
Okay.
We all have amnesia for a moment.
Wibbly wobbly wibbly wibbly wobbly. That's when you engage your mouth before you engage your brain. The new moon.
Yeah.
It was a very... In the culture of my people, new moon was a very sacred time. It is a time when... When things... You felt like things could happen. A very special, magical time. Time of magic.
And what did this ritual entail, if it's not too bold of you to ask?
My memory is not what it used to be, sir, but I believe there was dancing, there was a fire, there was the piping of the flutes.
Sounds like a party.
Indeed.
Well, you know, that's very enlightening. Thank you very much for your time.
Of course, sir. Anything I can do to help?
Just one last question. I know you've got a rival here, Lester Goodman. What's your feelings on him?
He is a very shrewd businessman. I deal in Kenyan artifacts. He deals mainly in Egyptian artifacts, I believe. So, our paths do not really cross that much.
But fair enough.
I believe he's very good at what he does, though. He must be.
Fair enough. Just curious, you know.
Of course, sir, of course.
Is his shop worth a visit?
Oh, I think any shop is worth a visit, sir. If you're into Egyptian and other similar artifacts, most definitely.
Okay. Well, we will certainly consider it.
Of course, sir.
I know that Flint's just going to walk out.
I think you found some details there that maybe may or may not be relevant. So... One more activity before all the appointments with Millie Adams.
When Flint gets a chance, he's going to ring up... I can't remember what he's called. Contact in the police.
Lieutenant Poole. Lieutenant Martin Poole.
Yes.
Actually, yeah, you can find a phone.
He's going to probably kind of corner... We'll grab Tim along for this, just because Flint doesn't know how to work a phone.
Tim, you put in the number for Martin Poole. Yeah, Lieutenant Poole's office. Lieutenant Poole speaking.
Hello, can you hear me?
a bit quieter.
Yes. Who am I speaking to?
It's Flint Locke!
Mr. Locke, yes, what can I help you with? Have you found any new information?
I'm not going to continue that on, imagine it going on in that vein. We've just been down in Harlem investigating the Juju House.
Uh-huh.
We think it's got something to do with old Jackson Elias's murder. We're not sure what yet, but leads have been heading us in that way.
Okay.
And it seems that there was someone in there. Now, I'm a hunter, so I know what it looks like when people are carrying a weapon. And it looks, there was someone in there who had a gun under their clothes. Uh-huh. And took a big wad of, big envelope there, and then got in a police car.
Ah, did you get a license plate for the police car?
I did. I took note of that. I took a note of the time. Mm-hmm. It was at.
It was this. It was this number. It was that time. And you hear him actually swear under his breath. Mr. Luck, I'm sure I don't need to tell you to tread very carefully. That was one of Robson's police cars.
Yes. This Robson has come and had a word with us at one point.
Told
us to watch our step.
Let the boss get monkey notes, bastard.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised it's taken him this long, actually. Just be careful. You appear to be onto something, but be careful. And if it looks bad, don't look. Get out of there. Call me immediately, and I'll see what I can do, and I'll get whatever help I can to you.
Do I get permissions to carry a big weapon?
I'm afraid I can't stretch that far without good cause.
God damn it, I miss Laura.
if you can get me evidence of what you're saying, that may go some way, even to helping Mr. Adams as well, Hilton Adams as well.
Mm. Well, we are going to talk to his wife later.
That's good. Well, tread very carefully, sir. I wish you every success, and I hope to hear some good news.
Right. Thank you for the help!
I suppose like the entire conversation has just been like, you know, holding, like, you know, reading away from the telephone and then click.
And I'm going to turn to the other two and be like, well, we're on to something. Mr. What's-His-Face, forgotten his name, sorry, Jeff.
Poole
has just said, and I explained the entire situation about the money and everything, or the envelope, that that was one of Robson's men.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to watch our step.
Wonder what. Oh, New York there. The character I was playing last night is from New York.
Eckhart is going native. Ness is going native.
Yeah. Well, Ness and Ness. There we go. I wonder what the. Now, you say that he was leaving this an envelope of money, implying.
No, he was taking one.
What's the difference?
So, Silas and Kwane gave him a big wad of something.
Yeah.
He left the store. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I snuck out to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got in a police car, which is apparently one of Robson's cars.
So, as I say, he left with...
Yes, he left with money, yes. I misunderstood.
No, that is fine. So that implies that he gave Kwame something in.
I'm not sure about what was living in the wilds.
Perhaps not a sale, perhaps these protection rackets.
Yes.
We look the other way. You give like, him a bribe.
If you've got a wild animal, kind of. Standing around your hut that looks like it's vicious, you try and befriend it with food and the like. So it knows you aren't a threat.
Little bribe, I suppose. Well, we cannot be too surprised.
I don't know how these inner city workings happen, but I don't know. There's something going on here.
And so, where are you going to go now? What is the plan now? I can put his face away. Your nightmares will no longer be haunted, Brian. I put his face away.
You are, sorry, Jeff, you're cut out there.
Brian's nightmares will no longer be haunted. I've put Silas Aquinas' face away.
I actually exited out of that picture.
A really creepy picture.
And so.
Yeah, it's just the eyes. But...
He does have sinister eyes. You're right.
I was going to say, I didn't find Lester Goodman creepy, but I found him certainly creepy.
I find Lester deeply sinister. I don't like anybody who plays along with somebody threatening them, even though they're not dead. That's horrifying to me. Flamme just seems like a bit grumpy. I quite like him.
Speaking of Mr. Goodman...
Hmm?
Speaking of Mr. Goodman, did I hear talk of that's where you wanted to go, or is that something else?
I think that was just on the sidelines.
So, where would you like to go on the afternoon of 22nd of January?
I'll be honest, I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm so tired.
We'll be finishing up soon. We'll make this the last activity for today, then we'll finish up.
Okay, if you guys want to go to Goodman's, that's fine, and I'll do my psychology tomorrow.
I wouldn't mind serving Goodman for next time. No matter how long that takes.
Okay, I'm happy to call it there if you're happy to call it there then. I think we've
got that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I think if Kieran's running around.
Yeah, I've been running around a museum after a 5-year old all day. He's very
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's tiring work.
Also, yeah, like if you take your eye off him for 2 seconds and he's zipped off somewhere. So yeah.
Well, I think we covered some good ground this session actually. We got some
Yeah, definitely. It was good to speak to Emerson.
In that case, let's go around and do our stars and wishes as we wrap up. We'll start with Kieran actually.
Yeah. My star, I think I enjoyed the conversation with Professor Langton. I liked getting to stop him and tell him what happened, because I already knew. As for a wish, I still didn't get to figure out. I feel like I'm learning about Houston, but I want to learn more. I'm a bit fixated on him.
To be fair, you may not learn much about him now, but you have opportunities later on, say if you were to visit a different country, to learn more about him. Hint, hint, hint. Robin.
Ooh, that's a good one. I enjoyed kind of getting to sneak out after that person and talking to Poole on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was funny.
That was very good. I love that.
I don't know. There's something about Silas and Kwane that just I can't quite put my finger on it.
I felt that way from the right start,
you know?
Yeah, Silas for you, Jackson for me. So, I mean, not Jackson, Goodman.
Lester Goodman.
So it's nice to kind of be starting to find out a little bit more about what's going on there, because lots of things have been pointing back to there.
Well, if you want a bit of paranoia fuel, if you remember, on your last visit, Metz told him everything.
Thanks, Metz.
What?
On the last visit to the Juju house, you told Professor Metz told Silas DeQuine all about their investigations.
A very trustworthy gentleman.
As for wishes, I want to say Poole, and I don't know why. I really want to say Poole. Robson. Come to a very sticky end.
we will see what can be done.
And I don't know. Maybe Flint is plotting something.
It would be fun to get to use my brawl again.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first time I've ever made a Call of Cthulhu character with brawl.
And Brian.
Let's see. stars. Yeah, I'd like finding out Robson was on our trail, especially since we now know Soilus is apparently in league with them. Wishes? Being able to punch Robson in that proboscis monkey nose of his.
Oh, I always think it's a sign of a good like GM. Like, obviously I've got these characters written for me, but to make you feel that as well. I always think that's a sign of I feel like I've done my job properly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Lester is gonna probably turn into Tim's arch enemy and Sarnas into Flint, but I feel like Robson might be might be everyone's arch enemy for a bit.
My own stars and wishes. I enjoyed the fact that things are starting to actually connect to each other now. The Necrotic Manuscripts, you now got a connection between that and the other book thefts. You've got your connections between the Juju House and whatever's going wrong, obviously between Adams. Connections between Houston, Carlisle, and whatever the heck is going on with that Benay or Amwaru woman is. It's like pieces are starting to come together.
There's so many threads going on.
But some of them are starting to come together as well as you're pulling at them. Some of them are starting to come together. And of course, the bit at the end with Flint on the phone. In fact, I enjoyed Flint going out and doing a stealthy thing as well. That's a very, that led to something important. How much importance you attach to it, but you now know connections that you didn't know before because of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maya seemed to come out in that.
I think it's fair. He's a hunter. That's what he does. I think that's absolutely fine. Apart from that, wishes. I wish we have a full team next time. That'd be very nice. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens when you go to see Millie Adams at the Lafayette Theatre. And with that, we'll bring this episode to an end. Thank you all very much for watching. Please do leave a like, leave a comment, and subscribe if you haven't done so already. We have a Discord. You can join our Discord. The address is at the bottom in the video description. And we will see you next time for Masks of Nyarlathotep. Bye, guys.
Bye.
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 You have been listening to Masks of Nyarlathotep, a final boss fight audio podcast with Ben the Questgiver as Denver Smith, Kieran as Professor Eckhart Metz, Brian Croy Dragon as Tim Sullivan, and Robin as Flint Locke. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving your review. This episode was originally broadcast on Twitch at twitch.tv/FinalBossFightLive. We stream this and other games and campaigns every month, with video replays on YouTube and an active Discord community. For further details, visit our website, finalbossfights.co.uk. Until next time, take up your sword and let's take this final boss down together.